Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I want to get right in God's Word this morning. I want to preach to you the first installment of a series called Navigating an Uncertain Future. How many would believe that our future seems a little bit uncertain, right? It seems uncertain. I mean, ask any question about anything that's going to be happening in 6 weeks or 6 months from now. Like, what's the Razorback games going to look like? What is school going to look like in 6 months? What is church going to look like in 6 months? I believe it's going to look like a packed house and everybody's healthy and whole. Amen. How many just agree with that? Amen. People are going to be getting saved and all that kind of stuff. What will the economy be like in 6 months? Who will be the president in 6 months? There's a lot of things that are going to happen in our future that is uncertain. And I want to give you my sermon and a sentence this morning. And so if you have to leave or if you fall asleep, make sure you get this sentence this morning. An uncertain future demands proven weapons. You know, sometimes when you're facing uncertainty, people start reaching for a lot of different things. They start reaching for new things and old things and just anything they can get their hands on. There's a movie, it's one of my favorites. It's a really old movie. It came out, you know, probably 15, 20 years ago. Megan kind of hates it. But the name of the movie is called The Ghost in the Darkness. Has anyone seen that movie? If you would like to see 121 different ways a lion can eat a person, it's the movie for you, all right? It's about these people who are building this bridge in Africa, and in their encampment while they're building this bridge, these two man-eating lions begin to attack those workers and begin to I know this is kind of gross, but just let me get through it. It is one of my favorite movies. I'm sorry, but they begin to eat person after person, and the engineer, who's played by Val Kilmer, he goes out, and he's going to kill the lion. And on his way out of the camp, the camp doctor hands him this rifle that's supposed to be so much more better than his own rifle. He says, take this one. It's more powerful. It's better. It's all this stuff. And so the star takes the movie, and he corners the lion. He pulls up the gun, and he pulls the trigger. He's about to, I mean, you know it's not going to kill the lion because you're only like 20 minutes into the movie. And it's a two-hour movie. But you think this is where it's all going to get better. And he pulls the trigger, and it goes click. The gun misfires. And Michael Douglas, who's playing the part of Remington in the movie, he says these words. He says, never take an unproven weapon into battle. And in our uncertain future that we're living in today, friends, you and I need proven weapons. I want to say that again. We need proven weapons. And I want to tell you, you know, sometimes I see people, and I'm going to get to scripture in just a minute, but sometimes I see people grabbing weapons that are actually been proven not to work. See, in proven times, we need proven weapons, but too many times we reach for weapons that have already been proven not to be working, not to be effective. Like some people, when times are uncertain, they reach for alcohol and try to drink their pain away. How many know that doesn't work? Right? Other people try to numb their pain with drugs, which has been proven not to work. They try to find momentary comfort in an affair or some illicit relationship, which has been proven not to work. Other people try to hunker in their bunker and their security, their own self-sufficiency, and that's been proven not to work. Friends, but in times of uncertainty, we got to look past the things that don't work and grab a hold of the one thing that always works. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us about some weapons that always work. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. I want to say that again. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. A lot of people are fighting the uncertainty today with weapons that have been proven not to work. On the contrary, they have, the weapons we have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Some of you need to underline those last few words. In moments of uncertainty, you've got to take every thought and make it captive to what the Word says. You know, the enemy would love nothing more. This is all free information for you. I just feel like you got to have it. The enemy would love nothing more than to rule your mind. Matter of fact, a lot of the uncertainty that we struggle with most is not things happening out here. It's the thing that happens between our left ear and our right ear. It's the things in our head that is causing us to second guess everything we know, everything we believe. And friends, in moments of uncertainty, we've got to remember what God has said. So I want to ask you to pray with me about this scripture today, that the Holy Spirit would take this scripture and just illuminate it in our hearts in a way that only He can. So, Father, we love You today, and we thank You for every person in the room. I thank You for every member of our church family who's watching online today. I'm thankful that You have something special that You want to establish in our hearts and our lives together this morning. And, Lord, in the midst of uncertainty, I'm thankful we can have certain victory when we employ the certain weapons You give us. So Lord, help me today to speak the words You want spoken. Help us to hear exactly what You want us to hear. And we'll give You thanks for it. Everybody said amen. So I want to challenge you, don't waste your time. I feel like all, like me, we've all got like the Elmer Fudd disease this morning. Have you noticed that? We're all like slurring our words. I promise. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, don't waste your time on carnal weapons. The Bible says that the weapons that we fight with are not carnal. And I've discovered there's a lot of people today that are employing carnal methods to the uncertainty in our life. And here's a few carnal methods I've seen of how to deal with uncertainty. You know, one carnal method that to deal with uncertainty is this: to ignore it. Right, that's kind of the advice our mom told us about the bully in school. Ignore them and they'll go away. How many know that bullies don't always go away? Sickness doesn't always go away if you ignore it. Being broke doesn't go away just because you ignore it. The uncertainty in your life doesn't go away just because you're ignoring it. So don't employ that. Here's other things. Just minimize it. Right? It's not that big of a deal. Here's the third thing. Third way people employ carnal minds and things is they minimize it, they ignore it, or here's the third thing, they magnify it, right? They make it even bigger than what it is. And you guys have seen that. Or here's something that we've really got to be careful with. Here's the fourth carnal way we see people operate is if they don't ignore it, they don't magnify it, they don't minimize it. Here's the thing I see happening a lot. If you watch the news for at least 15 minutes this afternoon, you'll hear it. They exploit it. They'll exploit a legitimate crisis for their own personal benefit. Right? It doesn't matter whether you're talking about COVID-19, if you're talking about some crash in the stock market, if you're talking about racial injustice, there's always going to be people that try to minimize it, try to magnify it. But here's the biggest group, is you're going to find people that are trying to exploit it. Trying to get their way out of it, trying to elevate their platform, trying to push their agenda, when the Bible reminds us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what are they? What are some of the powerful weapons that you and I have? Today I'm just going to give you about five or six of them. These aren't all of them, and these are probably, some of them are going to be the most obvious ones. There's one or two of you I know that you maybe not thought of before, but here's the first one, which I hope is the most obvious. The best, or the first agent, the first weapon we have against uncertainty is the Word of God, right? You can look at Jesus' own life when He was in the desert in Matthew chapter 4. When He goes to the desert, He's being tempted by the enemy. The enemy comes to Him and says, hey, you can have the world if you'll bow down to Me, if you'll just serve Me for a moment. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, well, it is written in verse number 4. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the Father. The best weapon we have against uncertainty is the Word of God. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 24 says it this way, that heaven and earth will pass away, but what? The Word of God, well, let's say it out loud, will last forever. I don't know what uncertainty you're dealing with in your life this morning, But eventually that's going to pass. And when it passes, this word's still going to be standing strong. Amen. It's still going to be standing strong. It's still going to be true. It's still going to be the ruling authority on planet Earth as it is in heaven. The word of God shall not fail and is not going to expire. I like what Rick Warren says. He says, God's word generates life, it creates faith, it produces change, it frightens the devil, it causes miracles, it heals hurts, it builds character, it transforms circumstances, it imparts joy, it overcomes adversity, it defeats temptation, it infuses hope, it releases power, and it cleanses our mind. It brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. Amen. We cannot live without the word of God. We cannot take it for granted. And you should consider it essential as food for your life. You know, Job said it like this. He says, I have treasured the word of God more than food for my mouth. See, we cannot stand without the word of God. One of our core convictions as a church is that we will be biblically fluent. We will stand on the word of God. And friends, it's hard to stand on the word of God you don't know. And so we've got to be in moments of uncertainty. We've got to be people that stand and know and invest in the word of God. The word said in Psalms 19 that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the word of God that illuminates the dark places that we're in today. You know, I know some people say, well, Pastor, you know, the word of God is boring, it's limited, it's so narrow-minded, it just boxes me in. And I want to tell you something, friends, the word of God does not box you in. The word of God sets you free every single time. And the only time the word of God boxes you in is when it is boxing you in from destruction. The reason the narrow path sometimes seems narrow is because of all the heartache that is keeping you from as you stay on it. You know, I was reading an article several years ago, and maybe I've shared with you before, about a school that bought 2 acres for a new playground. And they built a new playground right in the middle of this 2 acres. And when the lunch bell rang, they sent the kids out to play on the playground, and they noticed that all the kids stayed right there around that playground. They didn't venture more than 10 or 15 yards from the playground. They played chase, but they played around the playground. And the principal walked out. He said, man, we've got 2 acres here, and it's wasted. They're all staying right there around the playground. Look at all this room we're wasting. So someone had an idea. They got a fence, and they fenced in the entire 2 acres. And immediately the people, instead of running around that playground, they started running around the fence. Their domain became a lot larger because they understood the parameter says, all of this is for me. All of this is for safety. All of this is designated for me. Friends, some of you are living a life a lot smaller than it has to be because you haven't found the fruit and the promises of God's word. God's not trying to restrict your life. He's trying to give you life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that you can have life and life to the full. And some of you are convinced that this word is trying to rob something from you. What I'm telling you today, this word is trying to get something to you. And it's the good gifts of God. Listen, don't you buy into a second. Watch me on television today. Don't you buy into a second that the word of God is keeping life from you. The word of God is keeping death from you. I said the word of God is keeping death from you. And every time you think, well, this word, this scripture is too old school, this scripture is too restricting, this scripture is too hard, what you're doing in the moment you choose your way over God's way is you are choosing death over life. And in the moment you may think, I'm getting away from it, or I'm getting away with it. No, you're not getting away with it. You're getting away from the life that God has for you. And I'm not saying that out of condemnation or even frustration. I'm saying that out of a heartbroken pastor who is seeing people live the belief, the best gifts of God on the table for something so much less than what God has for you. See, God has the best for you today. But you have to understand it. It's the Word of God that's the lamp unto my feet. It's His Word that's a light unto my path. And when I ignore the Word, I'm choosing to walk in darkness. Secondly, the second weapon we have this morning, this is so important, is we have the weapon of Spirit-empowered prayer. You know, Ephesians says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, or you could say in all seasons, in the certain seasons and the uncertain seasons, by all kinds of prayers and requests, keeping this in mind, to be alert and to always keep praying for the Lord's people. Romans chapter 8 says it this way, in the same way the Spirit helps us pray in our weakness, for we don't know how we ought to pray. You ever had a moment where you're like, I just don't know how to pray? Uncertain times puts us in moments where we don't know how to pray. But I want to tell you, don't abandon your time in prayer when uncertainty builds. Sometimes when you're facing uncertainty, you think, man, I don't know what I got to do. Listen, this is a real fight that I've fought the last couple months. Since I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do, I'm just going to start doing more. Anybody had that reaction? I don't know what to do, so I'm going to work more. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do more because I don't know what to do, so I'll just try to do it all. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to substitute your good ideas for what God's really called you to do. And one of those things that we fight, one of those certain things we fight with is prayer. So don't let your busyness etch out your time with God. You know, Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. He said, because I realized the axe is the multiplier. Can I tell you, prayer is your strength multiplier. Times of uncertainty doesn't etch out your need for prayer. It actually heightens your need for prayer. The strength you need comes from your time with the Lord. Jim Cimbala says this. He said, the apostles had this instinct that when they were in trouble, they should pray. When they were intimidated, they should pray. When they were challenged, they should pray. When they were persecuted, they should pray. I'm just saying that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. It's a great tool God's here giving you. Third this morning, is you've got to navigate uncertainty with worship. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. The first 15, 20 minutes of our service this morning, our worship team led us in. That is worship, right? Right? And we would say that we either participated in worship or we were counting the ceiling tiles. I'm not sure what you did this morning. I hope you participated. But if you think that when the worship team stepped down, that your worship is over for the week, then you have misdefined what worship is. See, worship is our 24/7 living our life before God, hoping that every decision we make brings honor and glory to Him. Right? And one of the ways we navigate uncertainty is to navigate it with worship. You know, the Bible says, so worship is a weapon. And when we sing and lift our voices, it is a weapon. We sing that song a lot of times that, you know, this is how I fight my battles. And we sing that because we're understanding that when we worship God, it is lifting Him up. Here's one of the things that worship does. Worship magnifies God over our struggle. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by the struggle we see until we lift our eyes and we see God. We think our mountain is huge until we see the God that created the mountains. Am I right? And so worship, it magnifies who God is in our own minds. It elevates our sight above the mountains and understands that the God who created the mountains in the beginning is the same God that can move them from our life today. But we've got to be people that in the moments of uncertainty, don't let your uncertainty rob you of your decision to worship God. You know, there was a, I know you know this scripture, but In the New Testament, there was an example of Paul and Silas who were worshiping one night. Remember that? They were put in jail, tied up or chained up, and with no promise of deliverance, complete uncertainty, What did they begin to do? They begin to worship. They begin to worship in the midst of uncertainty, and in the middle of their worship, in the middle of uncertainty, the doors flew open, the chains fell off. God set them free because despite the uncertainty in their life, they decided to worship Jesus anyway. I just want to say this and I'll move on. But worship, sometimes I feel like we get the, I know you don't feel this way because you're here and you're watching today, but other people, you know. Sometimes people feel like worship is the result of ideal conditions. When worship has nothing to do with the condition we're living in, worship has to do with the perfection and the mighty and the power and the honor and the majesty of the God that we serve, no matter the circumstance we're in. That's why we worship God, because He's worthy. He's worthy. And that worship becomes a weapon when we say, I'm going to declare that He is worthy no matter the circumstances of my life. See, no matter how uncertain this is, I'm certain of who He is. Amen. I'm certain of who He is. Third or fourth, navigate uncertain with confidence in God's faithfulness. Revelation chapter 12 says this, that they've conquered Him, speaking of the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives unto death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, He who calls you is faithful. Let me tell you, let me give you a description of the God we serve. He's faithful. He's faithful when things seem certain. He's faithful when things seem uncertain. Matthew chapter 6 reminds us that we shouldn't be worried about things like what shall we eat or what shall we wear, because the Bible says your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Instead, He says what? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because He's faithful. I'll never forget one afternoon, I know maybe I've shared this with you before, Megan and I were driving home from Little Rock. We were serving in Jonesboro at the time, and we'd just been on cloud nine. Megan was pregnant, and we were just, you know, the fulfillment of what we've been praying for 10 years. You know, we thought this was the moment, and we came down here to get the confirmation and celebrate, and found out that day we'd had a miscarriage and procedures done and all that stuff. And I'll never forget, I can still tell you where we were. We were almost to Newport. And I looked over. My wife kind of taught me what worship really is about. She had her iPhone open sideways, and she had this app that turns her screen into a keyboard. With her heart's broken, she began to write this song that declared the faithfulness of God. See, God's faithfulness isn't dependent on what we see in the moment. It's a reality that no matter what we see in this moment, no matter how uncertain this moment is, the one thing that is certain is God is faithful in this moment, through this moment, and beyond this moment. And I don't know what you're going through today, but I know this. God is faithful. And one of your greatest weapons in moments of uncertainty is to remember, have confidence in the certainty of God. I know I've said it before. I can't always tell you how God's going to come through. I can just tell you God will come through because He is faithful. Fifth, this morning, navigate uncertainty with love for others. You know, Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 10. Many of you could tell it better than me. Jesus told the parable about the man who was coming from the road on Jericho, and he fell among thieves and robbers who stripped him of all his possessions and beat him up and left him for dead in the ditch. And a Levite came by and didn't help him. A priest came by and didn't help him. And then all of a sudden, a Samaritan person came by. A Samaritan was a person who no one would expect anything out of. If you thought there was issues between classes and races of people today than you should have been alive in Jesus' day. It was exponentially worse. No one, a Samaritan, would never stop and help a Jewish person in this predicament. But Jesus is presenting the story, and he says the Samaritan came and he helped this man out, and he took him to an inn, and he took, you know, the story. He bandaged all of his wounds and said, "Keep him, take care of him, whatever it costs, I'll pay you for it." And Jesus said, that was the man who showed love that day. But Jesus didn't just say that's what love looks like. He also mentioned the fact that this all took place on the road to Jericho. And Jericho, by just the culture, by the realities of the moment, Jericho was like one of the most dangerous treks you can make. It was notorious for these types of robberies and deaths to happen. And so to stop to help someone out, it wasn't just that you're being a good Samaritan, right? That's where the phrase came from. You're not just being a good, it's not like if someone breaks down on the side of the road and you think, oh, I'll take 10 minutes out of my day and help them. This is taking time out of your day to help someone when you might become the next victim if you do so, right? There is inherent danger that you're embracing when you stop and help. But Jesus, at the moment when he's saying to love one another, to love your neighbors yourself, he's also telling you that in the middle of uncertainty, love others. See, the injustice in our world is not a reason to withdraw love from other persons. It's actually an opportunity to show the love of Jesus to other people. Our culture desperately needs the message of faith, and that faith is best delivered through acts and services of love, even when it seems inconvenient or even dangerous. Six this morning, Megan, if you want to come, there's six weapons you have dealing with uncertainty is giving. Now, I want to take a few moments and just brag on our church, because you guys, both watching online and you guys shown in person, have just been incredible with your faithfulness to God and giving of your tithe and above that with offerings during this season. It's just been remarkable how the church of God, not just here in Cabot, I've discovered this is actually at least among Assembly of God churches, this is sort of a theme that churches have rallied in their faithfulness of giving financially in moments like this. So we say, thank God for that. But I want to tell you, did you know that giving is a weapon against self-sufficiency and materialism? But besides that, your giving declares that I realize exactly who is my source. Right? Every time you write out a check, or every time you get your phone out and you give online, what you're declaring in moments of uncertainty is, though I don't know how my job's going to play out, I don't know what my commissions are going to be, I don't know where the economy's headed, but every time you say, listen, I'm going to give in the middle of uncertainty, what you're declaring is, I am certain that the promises of God are true no matter what the economy is. You're declaring that God is my source. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham had that moment where God had called him to make the ultimate sacrifice. You know, take your son Isaac on this mountain and sacrifice him. And you know the story, they're walking up this mountain and Isaac is saying, Dad, I see the wood, I see the knife, but I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? He didn't know. He said, but Lord, the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. Right? He didn't know how. This is an uncertain moment. And he gets to the top, and he's just about to take his son's life. Hebrews says he's about to do so, knowing that even if I have to do this, God has the power to raise him up again. That's how much faith he had. But God stopped him and provided for him in the midst of his uncertainty. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, declaring, the Lord is my provider. You know what? Every time you give in the midst of uncertainty, you know what you're declaring? The Lord is my provider. I want to say that again. You're declaring the Lord is my provider. It seems really self-serving when a preacher talks about money, or especially talks about giving it to a church, but I'm not going to let the devil shut up the truth this morning. Every time you give to God, every time you return the tithe, every time you give to something like Kingdom Builders or missions, what you're declaring is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Amen? Amen. He's certain. He is, his promises are certain. Psalm said it like this: it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I like what T.D. Jakes said. He said, you can't be fruitful if you're not being seedful. But friends, when you're being seedful in the middle of uncertainty, God can still make you fruitful. Amen? And I'm praying God continue to make us fruitful. I'll close with this story. Had a Sunday school teacher, dear friend of mine, was in a season of uncertainty in her life. Her husband was, I believe he was without work at the moment. And she had a new job. And how many know when you get a new job, the first thing you don't do is go ask for a raise? Right? You don't do that on your second week on the job. If you've been thinking about it, I wouldn't do it. But she knew. She had done the math. And she said, Lord, if I don't get a raise of this much within 2 or 3 months, we're not going to be able to make it, Lord. Lord, what am I going to do? And she just felt the Lord impress her. Now, this isn't in the Bible. This is just the Holy Spirit kind of gave her command. And he said, Mary, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start tithing on what you need to make instead of what you're making. How many of you know that takes faith? And she thought she was short before, and now she's going to start tithing more? But that's what she felt the Lord tell her to do. Start tithing on what you need to make, not on what you do make. And so she started doing it week after week, and it wasn't just a few weeks before her boss called her in and said something along these lines. You know, Mary, we don't usually give people raises until they've been here a certain time. But we want to give you a raise today. And how many of you would like to guess what her new payment amount was? It was exactly what she'd been paying tithe on. Why am I telling you that story? Because I'm just telling that for those weeks or months, I forgot exactly how long it was, every time she gave, you know what she was doing? She was declaring, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Amen. The Lord is my provider. Come on, let's stand up. Give the Lord a hand clap because he's our provider today. Lord, we thank you that you're our provider. We thank you, Lord, that you take care of us. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you're certain. Lord, we thank you that every time our world seems to be in chaos, Lord, you're our foundation. We thank you, Lord. Friends, when everything else is uncertain, you remember this. The God we serve is certain. He is immovable. He does not change. He does not fail. And in uncertain times, we need proven weapons. This morning, I want you to ask you to bow your heads this morning. You've been fighting uncertainty this morning, watching online in the room today. You've been fighting uncertainty with the wrong weapons. You know it. You've been trying to minimize things, ignore things. Maybe you've been trying to maximize things. Maybe you've even tried to exploit things. Listen, you've got something better than your own carnal weapons. You've got access to the God of the universe who loves you. And I want to challenge you to trade those today for the certain weapons of God. And today, you say, Pastor, I've been fighting uncertainty. Maybe you've been consumed by uncertainty. Maybe it's been plaguing you. Maybe no one knows about it, but you know between your ears and your mind, you've been dealing with uncertainty. You need the strength of God today to help you fight the battle with certain weapons, with certain strength. I want to pray for you this morning that this will be a moment you just sense the courage and the faith to take hold of the real powerful weapons that God's made available to you. And that's you today. You say, Pastor, I need to make that move. We just lift a hand real quick. So that's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Amen? Several across this room today. I'm going to believe that today. This is going to be a, what's about to happen? I believe it's happening right now. The Holy Spirit of God is going to birth confidence in you like never before to step out and grab a hold of the certain weapons of God. So let's pray together. And church, if you didn't lift your hand, why don't you just help me pray today that we would all grab hold to the unfailing arms of God, the unfailing strength of God. In the midst of uncertainty, we would grab a hold of the one thing that is always certain, the love that God has for us, His people. Father, I just pray right now. Lord, we rally around one another in this church this morning, and we pray that, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare would not just be carnal, but Lord, they would be heavenly because they are mighty with you and they are mighty in our lives today. So I pray that those today who've been battling uncertainty today, Lord, though their circumstances may not change, Lord, there is someone with them in their circumstances that are even greater. So I pray today that faith would arise in their heart to grab hold of the promises of God and the resources they have in you. And the moments of uncertainty, they would just find peace and rest comes directly from their Heavenly Father. So Lord, lift us today. Lord, give us peace and strength. And I pray that every action of our life would declare, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for His word today? We love you, Jesus.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.